Are you listening? Damn.
We begin with a happy birthday to our co-host, Wendy Mader, still within the 45 to 49 age group. So, what are you doing to celebrate your day besides recording the podcast?
Every year since I turned 40, I always do a big workout. And I like to vary it year to year. So this year, I had to look back at things that I've already done. You know, the first year I turned, so I do a big break. I do a big, you know, I spend the morning doing my own. I treat myself to my own usually big workout. And in the past, I've done, when I turned 40, I was training for ultras. That was the first year I was training for ultras. So I tried to do 40 miles. And it was really like at this epic blizzard storm in Colorado. So I ended up doing that indoors. Oof. That wasn't very much fun. I remember when I turned 43, I ran 43 kilometers around the bike paths in Fort Collins. That wasn't much fun either because I just wasn't having a good fitness year, and that was really tough. In past years, I've done like maybe when I was 45, I've done like 45-minute swim, 45-minute bike, 45-minute run, or maybe 4,500 swim, 4.5-mile run, 45 miles on the bike. I've done stuff like that. So today, and I came up with this over the weekend, since I'm training for ultras again and I'm really into elevation, today my goal was to run with gaining 4,900 feet of elevation gain. And so I went to Kennesaw Mountain, and it's about a mile, depending on if you run on the trail, it's a mile to the top, or if you run on the road, it's about a mile and a half to the top. I went there, it was storming, the thunder and lightning had just stopped. I was the only one there, I was in the rain, but I was determined to get this done. And I thought I was going to get in about 20 miles worth of miles with that type of elevation. And I ended up running a marathon today, 26 and a half miles, got my 4,900 feet of elevation gain in. It was really tough. I wish I was 29 because I was ready to be done when I got to 29,000 or 2,900 feet. But it would, you know, it's an accomplishment. I'm like, you know what? Another marathon done. I hate marathons. That's probably my least favorite distance. So to run a marathon on the first day that I turned 49 with that elevation gain is really a challenge, and that's exciting to me.
Wow. Congratulations. People starting their birthday by doing a marathon. not even a sanctioned marathon. Just like, I'm going to go out and run a marathon and the 4,900 feet of elevation. That's creative.
Thank you. And the marathon was a bonus. I didn't expect to run that type of distance. But the 4,900, you know, I was just thinking 20-ish miles. I'm like, I can do 20-ish miles. I'm training for an ultra. My race is in 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's definitely time to start tapering. So I'm really excited about that. And again, just, you know, I like to do something active in my age, number of years in my age. And I encourage others to do it. And I also want to, as I was running today, what really started me running hill repeats and elevation is back in Colorado. This was probably like 20 years ago. I was hiking Long's Peak for the first time, and Long's Peak is a famous 14er. And I saw this woman running down as we were hiking up. And then like an hour later, she ran by us. And then I saw her running down again. And I'm like, oh my God, this woman is doing hill repeats on Long's Peak. That is so cool. I hope I can do that someday. You know, like I hope I could be as fit as her and be able to do like hill repeats. And here I am, age 49, and I'm getting it done.
That's so cool. And again, the creativity of challenging yourself and making these birthday events special by, you know, throwing together a certain combination of numbers to try. And same thing with your New Year's Eve. Or New Year's Day swim events.
Yeah.
It's extreme, but hey, what a healthier lifestyle hobby or habit to follow versus the other ones out there.
Exactly.
That's
really nice.
Any other special treats that you buy yourself or an equipment purchase or a multi-sport treat that you give yourself this year?
I asked my husband to buy me yak tracks. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that you put on. I've never had them. I lived in Colorado, but those are the things you put on your shoes for icy conditions. And I live in Georgia. And the reason I wanted them is the race that I did in February up in the Northern Georgia mountains had potential for snow and icy conditions. And that was not even on my mind. And I went to the pre-race meeting the day before, and they were talking about how you might need them on top of the highest peak because they just had a winter storm blow in. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have those. I've never used those. Mm-hmm. I really don't really understand how they work. Yet I'm probably going to do this race again. So I want to get them to have them when conditions are that extreme in Georgia. And it can get that extreme. So my husband bought me those and he bought me gaiters. And then I personally went to Whole Foods. I pre-ordered a vegan carrot cake, which is my favorite. Mm. And I usually can never find any. Like, I search restaurants and bakeries locally and no one ever has that. And it just so happened I called Whole Foods yesterday to have them make me a custom cake. And they happen to have them already in the store from a different type of bakery. So I picked that up. And that Whole Foods is actually a mile from where I did my marathon this morning. So it was very convenient. That's about it.
I understand the carrot part of it, but what else would make it non-vegan? Is it using eggs?
Yeah, they don't use eggs. And usually when you make a vegan cake, the frosting could be made out of some sort of coconut milk, coconut sugar, earth balance butter, or they use what's called aquafaba, which is, if you've ever had chickpea beans, garbanzo beans, mm-hmm. and in the can, that liquid in the can is called aquafaba. Mm. And so you can kind of like mix that up, beat that up, and it forms some like a foamy thing. And that's really what they use to make the frosting. And then, you know, the flavors of, you know, cinnamon, carrot, it's kind of a ginger, kind of like a Christmassy type of flavoring that they use. And I've never had this particular cake, so I'll have it when I get home after I coach the kids this evening.
That's awesome.
So I do take care of myself. I'm like, I don't expect anyone to do anything for me. That's my birthday. I want to kind of treat myself to a day of not having any commitments, except I do coach the kids. But I usually just kind of treat myself because, you know, I take care of myself.
Sure. Yeah. On that note, my son had his fourth birthday yesterday. I didn't realize how, you know, that you guys had the near same birthday. Actually, he was born at, I think it was 11:42 or 11:45 p.m., on the 8th. So if he would have waited a few more minutes, you guys could have shared the same birthday, but we took the day off, mom and me, and we took him out throughout the whole day. And, it was a yes day. So whatever he wanted, we said yes to within a range, like you can get one toy from this store, or we didn't really say anything about a budget, but he just wanted a truck here or a monster truck there or whatever it was.
Oh, that's so fun.
We did that and went to a jumpy place where they had trampolines and an aquarium, lunch. It was all about Finn yesterday. Ironically, his name is Finn. I don't think that was planned on for swimming, but we liked Finn, so we went with Finnegan, and it's his nickname is Finn. So happy birthday to both of you. And I was telling Melissa on the way to with Finn, it's like we should make this a tradition with both our kids that they have their own special day. We thought about bringing her with us, but it's like, no, it's Finn's day. Let's just, you know, it's all about him. We'll do the same thing.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
Maybe we'll continue that throughout until they want to stop doing it, you know.
Like, hey, yeah.
It's your day. Even if it's a school day, who knows at that point.
I like it.
On a negative and a positive, I've lost my second Garmin watch. I forget when we had the same one. It's I don't know what it is, 910 or I'm not sure what it's called.
They were red straps.
Yep.
I have a 945 now.
Really?
But I do remember we had the same one when I first got a Garmin, which was only a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah, I got mine from Erin Carson. She's out of Colorado at a Boulder. Yeah. She's a coach there. She was selling it on Facebook, the one with the red strap, and I was like, dibs, I'm going to get it first. It was like $150. She just wanted to get rid of it. So I got that one, and then somehow I lost it after a race. I remember coming home. I took a nap downstairs on one of our couches, and then I couldn't find it after that. I thought, oh, one of the kids playing with it. Well, never found it. So I bought out a second one online, and it was a blue version of the same watch, and I liked it. And then this is Wednesday, but 2 Mondays ago after a swim, because I know I had the swim because I recorded my swim with it, I can't find it. So I think maybe the kids were messing around with it or put it in their pile of toys. I still can't find it. So I've been debating the whole week. It's like, I'm looking in all the places where it shouldn't be. Can't find it. Looking behind my desk and everywhere. So I kind of did some, I was doing some research, asked a friend. I should have asked you because I ended up buying a 945.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I got one. I looked at different reviews. And I spent a lot of time going back and forth between 945 and the 935 or something that's one step below that.
Yeah.
Or 735, 745. But the battery life was a big difference.
Uh-huh.
So I ended up buying that one yesterday. I'll get it this weekend. It's like one of those where I got to buy, I'm biting the bullet. It's like, I shouldn't be losing my stuff. I should keep a better eye on it. But in a way, when you have two kids under four, just because I have it in my office on my desk doesn't mean it's going to stay in my office in my desk. You should see what things that end up in my little fridge. I find things in my fridge that should not be fridge worthy because the kids are just putting stuff in there. Could be sunglasses. I mean, who puts it? Anyways, so that's my latest toy. It's not even my birthday, but that's my latest toy that I'm getting here in a few days. And I'm keeping a close eye on it because you have it. What do you like about it?
I don't remember, I can't compare it to the one, the red one, the red strap one.
Mm-hmm.
What do I like about it? I like the size of it. To me, it's not as big as the other one was. It's comfortable. It doesn't feel like it's a weight on my wrist at all. I use it primarily because I want to know elevation gain more than anything in my training right now.
Yeah.
It's my bike computer. So when I go out for a ride, I strap it on my bars so I can see what I'm doing on the bike. And I don't usually use it for heart rate. I used to use the strap with it, and now I just have the wrist heart rate, and it's not very accurate at all. And so it does what I need it to do. There's a lot of functions on it that I don't need that I just kind of ignore. And sometimes I get frustrated because I'm trying to scroll to find something. And then it's just, there's all this stuff, you know, that I'm sure people love and adore about it because there's a lot of stuff. What I don't like about it is I've never lost it, but this is my third one because I've had to send it back to Garmin because only after a few months of having each one, the elevation, you know, goes crazy where I'll do a run 4 miles and maybe get a couple hundred feet of elevation gain and it'll tell me I get 200,000. So the elevation, and they said it was the barometer was way off and that's what I wanted it for. So twice I sent it back and they sent me a refurbished one. This third time recently, just like 2 months ago, I had to send it back again and they sent me a brand new one because they realize something's up, you know, it's not working for me. So the customer service is fantastic. So I do like the customer service. I just didn't like that whole barometer elevation thing. What was just extremely off.
Well, and you use it swimming at all to count laps?
I use it for swimming. Okay. You know, and that's an interesting thing about swimming. I still count my own laps. I have this timer on. Whenever I swim, I'm just a lap counter because I'm a swimmer and that's just something I do. It's just, that's my mindset in the pool is just counting laps. Mm-hmm. But it is nice for those times I've done my epic swims on New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve that if I feel like I'm off, I could have my Garmin tell me what my distance is. Mm-hmm. What I don't like about it in the pool is if you kick and you're holding onto a kickboard or if your arms are streamlined, if you're not using your arm for that length, it's not going to count it.
Yeah.
And that's not a big deal to me. If I miss some laps, it's not a big deal to me. It is for other people. Like athletes I coach will put in their comments and Training Peaks, you know, I kicked 100. So I did the distance you wanted me to, but I did that, you know, I'm like, okay, that's not a big deal, you know, in the big picture of things, it's not going to matter. That's that.
Well, I got it for all those reasons. And, you know, the swimming clearly, because I want to upload it to Strava or Training Peaks Strava right now because I keep track of everything.
Oh, that's
there.
Really nice to do too. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think with this one, there was a way to download your Training Peaks workouts. Does that sound right? Or is that maybe a higher version? Okay. Is this one? Okay.
Yeah. And I don't do that, but all the athletes I coach do. So if you have a structured workout in Training Peaks and you use Workout Builder, you can sync that workout to your Garmin. And so when you put your Garmin on, it'll beep or do something to tell you you have to run X amount of time in this heart rate zone or this pace zone. And then it'll tell you when you, you know, you have to drop your pace or heart rate and do your recovery mode.
Yeah, that's pretty detailed. It's seems a little complicated at first to think that the workout that you create is going to be downloaded to my watch and then I have to access it. But I only say that because I have not got my hands on this yet. So I don't know real world applications or how intuitive it's going to be for me to look down and go, okay, I'm doing my run workout. Do I follow it or do I follow my own? Do I wait for these beeps? Do I set my own heart rate or my own cadence beeping, which shouldn't be that big of a problem because I could do it on the old watch, the heartbeat or the cadence thing.
And they have, you know, they have videos online to tell you, you know, they have a lot of short little videos that tell you what you need to know. So it's very user friendly and you just got to take the time to figure it out.
And does it also register or recognize power on the bike? Oh wait, do you have a power meter?
Yeah. It recognizes power on the bike.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then when I used to run with my Stride running power meter, I would have to put it on my bike mode. So it would register my Stride run power meter. I couldn't figure out, and I don't think there's an option to have a run power mode. So if I had my setting on run, I can't measure power. So I had to have my setting on bike to measure my run power.
Okay.
And maybe it's me. Maybe I just haven't figured it out, or maybe they've upgraded it so you can do that now. I'm not sure.
So does this 945 almost replace a head unit for a bicycle?
It does.
I forget what I have.
Well, for me, it does.
510, 520, Garmin 520. Because I always have just the bike computer always with the bike. And with this, I guess it kind of takes place of both of them.
Right. I don't have a bike computer.
Okay.
So
it's
nice.
Well, good. Then I feel like maybe I got my money's worth with this new watch if I can hang on to it. Yeah. Anyhow, okay, kind of a tangent there, but maybe if you're listening and you're thinking about how to use these pieces of equipment, now you know that we both will have one and you can ask us. Speaking of asking us, the T2 Endurance Group on Facebook, we added a few members over the last couple of weeks. We missed last week because I had some family things that kept me from recording, but we have some new things inside the T2 Endurance Group that are pertinent to this month. Wendy, you want to kind of run down a couple of those things? We got International Women's Day and something else.
So March is National Nutrition Month, and we started our T2 Endurance Group March of 2017, and we kicked it off with a nutrition challenge. And I believe the challenge was something like, you know, try to eat 5 fruits and veggies this week, try to drink your half your body weight in ounces of water this week. So we actually had little weekly challenges. So this month, March of 2022, I decided for my own accountability is I'm posting a nutrition article based on questions. I frequently asked questions I get about nutrition and anyone in the group asks. So my goal is to just post nutrition articles based on science, based on researchers that I trust and follow, based on registered dietitians. And then it's just kind of creating some conversation amongst the group members.
One of the links you shared had to do with which meal is most important for an endurance athlete. Did you know this before you researched it or found the information?
Yeah. Well, I mean, based on my own personal experience.
Yeah. What did you find as the most important meal of the day for you? Was it the same as what the article talked about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, to learn about that, go to the Facebook page and see that answer there. Being National Nutrition Month already, when he's doing one a day, so it's pretty awesome. And we had some new members request, and we've added some new members, 689 members inside the group. It's a private group, so you have to answer a couple of questions to get there. Speaking of questions, I know we're already kind of into the podcast here. We've got some questions that were submitted to us, and we're going to get to those and on the heels of National Nutrition Month. This is from Sarah. She says, I'm training for an Ironman, and for the most part, eat healthy. Lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, chicken, fish, and so on. But I'm struggling with eating healthy and increased food cravings after long training sessions. What is your advice to Sarah, Wendy?
I think that's pretty normal. I think that's everyone who's training for an Ironman has probably experienced that. And if they haven't yet, they will. And it's important to know, like, you know, usually athletes, non-athletes, when it comes to training, we're all trying to lose a few pounds before race day. And I think when we're training for the distance, like an Ironman, we think, at least I used to think, well, I can eat anything I want and still lose weight, which is absolutely not true. And so I have a feeling she might be concerned, just based on the question, she might be concerned that she's having these food cravings with training, and she's probably satisfying her food cravings, but she may or may not want to lose weight. So I just kind of wanted to throw that in there. And if you are not wanting to eat to satisfy your food craving, usually it's probably some junk food. Maybe it's some salty food like chips or donuts or something like that. Always be prepared to have the healthy food with you. You know, if you're someone who really enjoys fruits and vegetables like I do, or you have some shakes you can make and prepare ahead of time, so when you finish that endurance ride or run, you immediately fuel yourself with the healthy food choices, and that might make the craving go away. Number two, if you do have cravings, it could also be a sign of you're not fueling during training enough. You could be lacking calories and hydration while you're doing your longer endurance session. And if you just kind of bump up your caloric intake or hydration intake, you may not have the cravings. Third, usually, and this is something I experienced, but based on research, if you are craving like salty foods or fatty foods, sugary foods, it could mean your overall caloric protein intake is low. And if you bump up the amount of protein you're intaking, that could keep the cravings away as well. And then number four, because I've done a lot of research on intuitive eating, if you are craving something, allow yourself to have it. Just make sure it's portion control, and you're not eating a whole entire bag of chips or a box of donuts. Just have a little bit of chips or donuts, whatever you're craving, and just be happy with it, and not worry about you're eating junk food, because you are training and you want to make sure you are eating enough to fuel your training.
Yeah, I find even with a run, let's say it's an RPE of 7 for an hour, I personally can burn 800 calories, maybe 1,000, mm-hmm. and if I bump it up a little bit or have some intervals in there. So after 1,000 calories of burning, I don't find any problem with grabbing a handful of salty whatever, chips or some cookies, mm-hmm. because I need some calories back in me. I'm still going to eat healthy throughout my day, but I'm going to treat myself to, like, this is what my body wants right now. Yeah, I didn't get what I needed during the run, but I'm going to take this and just satisfy myself in the short term, because I know the big picture, I am on a more positive slope,
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe even keeping just, if it's a mental log or writing it down, what are you eating on a regular basis? Are you okay? If you have to think about it, maybe you're not okay, but if you have to think, yeah, I eat generally pretty good. So a couple of these things mm-hmm. here and there shouldn't be a problem. That's my guess too. But those are excellent points on how to deal with these increased food cravings.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with you. It's pretty normal. But if you don't, again, if you're trying to eliminate or limit the amount of I'm going to say salty or fatty or sugary food, and that's what you're craving, just make sure you have something available that's healthy, that you can eat a little bit of what you're craving and then stuff your face with a healthy food.
A couple of weeks ago, before I kind of had some, sore throat and some headaches and stuff like that from just being generally having some kind of flu, I was doing your sweet potato thing or having a potato, and that was really curbing any hunger mm-hmm. I was having, and was pretty filling. I was surprised that just one good sized sweet potato with some butter or some salt and pepper or whatever, maybe a little cheese, like that is pretty darn good. And it was based on one of your suggestions of, hey, I eat sweet potatoes all the time, or just mm-hmm. have that to hold yourself over, because I'm trying to balance my personal weight and muscle and overall training. And I found recently we've got this new scale. Let me see if I can bring it up my phone. I thought it was interesting. This is not a bragging thing at all. I'm just learning about myself, and the more about your own personal fitness, the better. This was, gosh, I don't know, 4 weeks ago. Here it is. I don't know what the date is. The second. Yeah, it was the second. Looks like it. Well, I weighed myself, and I was 188.5 pounds. This is called InBody. It's a certain kind of scale that you can stand on and hold these sensors with your hand. It does a huge test for you. Uh-huh. And it showed that my skeletal mass, muscle mass, was 93.3 pounds, which is above average. My body fat at the time was about 14%. And so I shared, my wife got this scale because she's doing this, these kind of things, and I was trying to figure out how much can I possibly lose in fat or even muscle, and what is my, what's my bottom line? If I want to get down to, if I have to lose 8 pounds, I guess the summary of this is that I'd have to get down to 10% body fat just to get down to 180, which is a lot to lose because I have so much muscle on me.
Right.
93 pounds of my body is muscle. 26 pounds of me was body fat mass. So I didn't have a lot of room to work with fat. I had more room to work with muscle, but it's hard to lose muscle without just stop doing stuff. Because as us being athletes, every time I run or bike, my legs are getting, you know, worked out. I'm not lifting weights. Right. I haven't lifted weights per se for a long time, but the way you and I and all other sports guy people out there, multi-sport athletes, you build your muscles or you're maintaining your muscles when you ride your bike. I forget why I'm bringing this up.
Well, you just reminded me, Don, my husband and I had a DEXA scan done. I don't know if we've talked about this.
I don't think so.
A DEXA scan. I had one done in like 1997 or 1999 when Colorado State University got them in. They used me as a test subject. So I got all this body fat, more importantly, bone density scan done. But it does the same thing that scale does. It tells you how much of your weight is fat and how much of your weight is lean muscle. Mm-hmm. And then it calculates your body fat percentage to lean muscle percentage. So it was kind of a really cool tool. Mm-hmm. I went with Don because he wanted to mostly know the body fat, and I wanted to see what my bone density was. It's been, you know, a long time. And so, you know, I was the picture of perfect health. Just, you know, the guy's like, you don't, you know, me. He's like, you just have nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. Based on not necessarily based on the percent body fat, but it was just based on the pounds of fat you actually have compared to the pounds of lean muscle you have. Yeah. He's like, there's just no room for you to lose weight. You just, and I knew I didn't need to, but it was just the way he explained it all. It was kind of cool. It was kind of just a new mindset, a new way to think about things.
This was really helpful for me with my confidence and my goals, is because if I only had 26 pounds of muscle, I mean of fat, and I needed to lose four more, if I wanted to lose, drop down to 180 pounds, that means I have to lose 8 pounds of fat, which is 4 more percent. It's going to take me under 20 pounds of body fat. It's almost like it let me know that I'm okay where I am right now.
Right, exactly.
The number I picked was arbitrary. It's like, I just want to get under 180 because if I'm lighter, I'm faster. But my body won't let me under these conditions. I need to lose muscle and not the fat as much. Sure, I can get down to 10% body fat, but will that be really an advantage to me in what I wanted to accomplish? Maybe not. Maybe my weight, ideal weight, and this is just for me to figure myself out, maybe my ideal weight is 185 to 190 training racing weight. Mm-hmm. And 180 is not realistic or not as healthy as I was hoping it would be. And maybe it's just a matter of just being more better trained. Find my fitness elsewhere, and it's not a weight number. If you can, listeners, if you can gather anything from that for yourself, like you maybe have a better weight than you can think of. Your weight may be okay the way it is.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Do you want to get one more question in here?
Two more comments I want to make. I think there's this assumption that you make about yourself without knowing what you're lacking or what you're not lacking. You know, like you know, as a vegan athlete, people are like, where you get your protein? I'm like, I get plenty of protein because I keep track of it and I know how much protein I'm getting. I don't need to get any more protein. Or some people are like, you know, do you take iron supplements or B12 supplements or calcium supplements? I will once I get my blood work back. I'm not going to start taking stuff until mm-hmm. I know what my baseline is.
Yes.
For those people like you who say, oh, well, I just, you know, want to weigh 180 because there's that assumption, you know, if I'm 8 pounds lighter, I'm going to be faster. But that's not necessarily true if you have to lose muscle mass to lose weight. That doesn't mean you're actually going to be faster. There was one year, I think it was in 2009, I wanted to quickly get down to the body weight I was in 2008. 2008, my body weight just naturally happened. 2009, I was struggling because I gained weight after 2008. I gained weight, so I wanted to do this quick weight loss, but it made me really weak. And I didn't perform well because I thought I needed to lose weight to perform better. And I actually had the reverse happen. I had the worst performance I've ever had. And I think it's just because I lost muscle and I didn't realize it at the time. So I just want to stress the importance of people getting their baseline for whatever they're trying to lose or gain, whether it's from a biomarker, vitamin mineral deficiency, or a weight perspective. Just know your baseline and know what's healthy to do and not do.
There's also a body perception of, you know, the visual. And that's an interesting thing about this sport of triathlon is that there can be someone who looks very ripped, if you want to call it that, versus someone who looks soft. And the soft person can be a better triathlete than the ripped person. So, you know, even looking at yourself going, I could lose some weight. It's not the weight. It's not what you look like. It's your endurance. Are you trained? And I have to remind myself the same thing. It's like, hey, just because I look this way, I know for a fact that I'm not faster than someone who looks not as muscular as I am, because that's not the point. And it's one of those reminders like, it's not what you look like. Don't judge it on the number and don't judge it on what you look. Train and your results will tell you where you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So one more comment on that. I graduated with my master's in 1999, and my master's thesis was eating, training, and prevalence of disordered eating among triathletes. So that's why I'm always into the body image and the disordered eating among triathletes, because I did my research on it. And so I actually had a few athletes tell me, they're males, no less, writing me paragraphs, pages of their personal history with anorexia and bulimia and how, you know, because they're an athlete, they have this perception that they need to look a certain way or eat a certain way. And it we're all individuals, and what works for you might not work for me. What works mm-hmm. for me might not work for you. And just, you know, be happy with where you're at.
As a beginner, a triathlete, who most of the people who are listening are, you know, usually in the beginner stages, or, you know, they've been in it for a few years. Look at the finishers at an Ironman after 15 hours or 16 hours. All shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you look like as much. Do you want to try to get one more question in, or do you want to wrap this up?
Let's do one more.
Okay. From Justin, I am following your Couch to Half Ironman program on Training Peaks. If I'm not focusing on improving my swim speed, is it still critical to do intervals in the pool and pool time in a premium? And pool time in a premium, I can only swim 2 times a week, and midway through the plan, it increases to 3 times per week. Which are best?
You know, so swimming is one of those sports where you don't necessarily just do continuous swims like you do on the bike and the run. You know, the run, you go out for a continuous 5-mile run. On the bike, you go out for an hour bike ride at the same intensity. There's a time and a place for that in the pool, but most swimmers, the nature of the sport is broken up into intervals. Doing intervals doesn't mean you're doing speed work like you would do an interval running at the track. When I think of intervals at the track, I'm thinking speed work, I'm thinking high intensity. If I'm doing intervals on the bike, I'm thinking the same thing, strength or speed work. And in the pool, just workouts are structured to be broken up. And a lot of reason is, you know, so you can, you know, maintain your technique, you can take rest breaks. Most triathletes are weaker swimmers, so they need more rest than I actually probably provide in the plan. And so, you know, ultimately do what works for you and your schedule. And if you're not needing the volume of training that's in the plan, you don't have to do it. And if you would rather add a bike or a run in place of a swim, that's fine. if you're someone who just wants to go swim for 30 minutes and continuously and not break it up into intervals or not break it up into intensity, that's fine too. But know that there's a purpose of intervals, and sometimes the purpose of doing like 10 100s with 20 seconds rest is an endurance set versus doing 10 100s with 5 seconds rest, and that's going to be more of a endurance, maybe threshold set, keeps your heart rate up because you're not letting your heart rate recover due to the shorter rest interval. So there's just, it just depends on the purpose and your why and what you want to do.
If you go to endurancehour.com, you can see all different training plans there, and they're all linked to Training Peaks. So all of our plans, which get, you know, more than 24 of them, they have videos within them where we coach you through every major training block, sometimes on a weekly basis. So a lot of this can be covered within the plan with the details there. And then Wendy is always accessible to ask questions too as well. Mm-hmm. Depends on whatever plan you're doing, whether it's marathon, half Ironman, beginner, this or that. Check it out by going to the website and you'll learn much more. And Training Peaks is, by the way, it's a free account. There's some upgrades you can do for more features, but just something to think about, since that's kind of what we offer a lot of our athletes. And there's like even a free sprint triathlon program that we offer as well. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to wrap it up. I know we're closing in here, 35, 36 minutes. Happy birthday again to Wendy as you celebrate the rest of your day. Started off with a marathon, which is just wow. I haven't done anything today except work with the kids. Now I have to go out and do some kind of 10K run just to feel like I'm just teasing. So the rest of your day going to work with the kids at the pool and then let them play around on your birthday?
Yeah, I usually, when it's the kids' birthday, I usually bring a treat like cookies or something. And then I usually do like a half the time they do a workout, and then the other half time they usually do relays, which is what they really like to do. So today, because it's my birthday, we have a swim meet coming up this weekend, so we're not doing a lot of training volume anyways. I'm going to let all my groups, I coach 3 groups tonight, I'm going to let them all do relays and games.
That's awesome.
And then I can just kind of hang out and watch.
There you go. Well, that's going to wrap it up then for episode 350 of the Endurance Hour podcast. For Wendy Mader, I'm Dave Erickson. Have a great week of training, racing, or recovery. See you next time. Adios.
Adios.